I just want to drink that in. Is that not a true statement? Do we need God every hour? Really? Every second I need him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is so true that without you, we are nothing. And too much we take for granted. The fact that you know what we need before we ask is more than our finite brains can comprehend. And the fact that we're in want is because we don't know how much we need you. God, I thank you for your word and that we have access to it and that it can speak life into us. And I pray that what would be accomplished today. And as we study your word, your spirit would minister to our spirits, that we would pick up what you're putting down and put it into practice. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So would you agree that we all have some sort of need in our lives that just seem never to get met? I know I do. You know, the thing or the issue that's weighing heavy on your mind, but you just don't know how to solve. If we were to take some time and I went around and asked each of you to identify your greatest need, I think there would be a common thread that we would hear going throughout the room. Some of us here would identify money as a need. I need a job. I need a raise. I need help paying off a student loan, a car payment, medical bills. We would identify our need as financial. Some of us would identify relationship as our need. We're having marital problems. We're enduring relational conflict. We may have a problem with a parent, a sibling, a child, a neighbor, a coworker. We would identify our need as relational. Some of us would identify time as our need. We're so busy. I know I used to wish I could just have another hour. If the day was 1 hour longer, I would squander that one too. Our work schedules are bursting at the seams, and availability to be with our children, to go to their sporting events or their activities is taxing. And at the other end of the extreme, we don't have opportunity to complete the work for the target date at our job or for homework for school. We would identify our need as time. Other needs such as medical, emotional, social would probably be mentioned as well. All too often, we leave God out of the equation. At the end of the day, when you stop the whirlwind of life, he is our greatest need. When you open your Bible and you read it for yourself, you find Jesus came to preach the gospel, the good news, but also to heal and restore the lame and the blind, to set the captives free. Take some time to read Luke chapter 4, specifically verses 18 and 19, and you will see the truth of God's word revealed. You want to write that reference down? It's Luke chapter 4. Good read this week. You might meet Jesus. Jesus cares for our spiritual needs. But we have to realize that he is attentive to our physical, mental, emotional, and social, economic needs as well. Ask me how I know, and I'll tell you, for the Bible tells me so. Huh. We teach the little kids that song. But do we live it out through our life? It seems we turn 17 and all of a sudden church doesn't apply. Read Matthew 6 and the truth of God's word will show you how his followers get through life. You want to write that one down? Matthew chapter 6 is a good read this week. You might meet Jesus. We shouldn't be surprised that once Jesus sends out his disciples on mission, that's you and me, they seek God first. We saw last week that Peter and John, two of Jesus' closest disciples, were going to the temple for a 3 p.m. prayer service. And as they enter the temple courts, they encounter a man lame from birth. Do you remember last week's sermon? He was born lame. He had to depend on the generosity of others his entire life to the point of being carried into the temple courts. But actually, his need is obvious, right? He can't walk. That must be his need. If he could just walk. And I'm sure that's what he was thinking. If I could just walk, life would be so much better. But in actuality, he underestimates his need. And if we're honest, so do we. I need lunch. I'm hungry. And I need so much more than that. I need the nutrients in the food so that my body can work properly. But I don't think about that. I just want to turn off the hunger. This man didn't have a clear understanding of his need. When Peter and John came near him, he didn't think to ask them for healing. Instead, he asked them for money. If I can just have more money, all my needs will be met. Or at least most of them, right? Have you ever listened to that voice? This man became so locked into a way of thinking, he couldn't imagine what God could do for him. We too are prone to becoming caught up in the world's way of thinking. We fail to imagine what God can do for us, what he wants for us. Do you think he wants us to be in want? No. This man looks at the surface of his needs. I need silver and gold. I need food. My rent's coming due. You need to help me. You know, as Peter, basically Peter says this. Look, I'm in the same predicament. Silver and gold I do not have. This is what we talked about last week. But what I do have, I give you. Are we holding what we have back? I have Jesus. I come here every week and I start spouting off about Jesus because he has made a difference in my life. And I need to pick it up and put it into practice just as much as you do. But here's the thing. There's a development over there that have never heard the name Jesus, have no idea the power and the authority they have in Jesus' name. Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And then taking an action, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet are healed. And then this amazing thing takes place. This man that can't walk from birth gets up and he walks. That's called a miracle. Peter performs this amazing miracle and he heals this guy's legs. Surely this must be his real need, right? All things are good now. What I'm coming to understand is that all this takes place to add credibility to what Peter has opportunity to proclaim in the remaining of this chapter. We see in the Bible that when Jesus heals people, it often carries a greater point. I'm reminded of that guy that he's paralyzed in Mark chapter 2. He's lowered down through a roof to meet Jesus. And the first thing out of Jesus' mouth is, your sins are forgiven. And then he describes what's going on. And after he has his conversation, he says, take up your mat and walk. Are we paralyzed? Jesus says, I have so much for you. Come to me. I have everything you need for this day. Just trust me. I'm going with you. I'm going before you. Just take up your mat and walk. here in Acts chapter 3, we see Peter and John heals this man. But why? It opens the door for them to tell the crowds of their greater need. This crippled man serves as an attention getter so that the people gathering will come to realize that God can satisfy their true need. It is only God. The lame man thought he needed silver and gold, but Peter and John knew he needed God to reach down into his life. And that's what we need. And when God does, it changes everything. Have you experienced it? No, I'm still waiting. Take up your mat. Believe. Receive. Test them out. For the lame man, he jumps up and he begins telling everyone how cool God is. He encountered the life-giving power of God. He couldn't contain it. I can't contain it. That's why I'm a raving idiot. I get excited when I talk about Jesus and eat good food. Generally, I do them together. You come to my house. I don't want to talk about Jesus. It just happens. Every time, it's like, let's just talk about flowers. And somehow God comes into the conversation. Because I love him with all my heart, soul, and mind. The same thing should be true of us. When God meets our needs, let's tell others. When God keeps providing for you month after month, even though the budget is so tight, tell somebody. When God gives you peace in the midst of loss, share your experience. When God's there for you at your darkest moment and he helps you through, people need to know clearly. Oh, no, I'm good. We tend to think our need is one thing: money, relationships, time, health. When in reality, it's so much bigger. We need to encounter God himself, and when we do, we need to share that truth with those he brings to us. The lame man couldn't walk. They were just passing by. God moment. What can I do with this? Taking a look in my eyes. Read Acts chapter 3, the first 10 verses. Again, if you're forgetting the message. This week, we're going to pick up the encounter at Acts chapter 3 at verse 11. That can be found on the Pew Bible, in the Pew Bible, on page 1695. No, really, you want to pick up the Bible. I gave you the page number. If you have your own Bible, we're going to Acts 3 again. And I'll be reading verse 11. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. If you went to Romans or Corinthians, go back. If you don't have a Bible, or if you don't want to use a Pew Bible, take out your phone. Scroll to Acts chapter 3. Verse 11 says, while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished, and they came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. Two words stand out to me in that sentence: astonished and running. To be astonished is to be amazed or filled with the emotional impact of overwhelming surprise or shock. These people could have been scared. Like, whoa. Astonished. I know this because I looked the definition up because I didn't know what astonished meant. With that definition in mind, you would think that would drive people away from Peter and John, but it draw them close. Why? Because they wanted to know what was going on. What's happening? They went and they checked it out. when we're experiencing God in our lives, we should expect that others will be attracted to this supernatural display of God's power working in your life. Look, if you could see me hobble around all week, if you could see me moping from the pew to here, and I'm standing on holy ground and I'm flailing like an idiot because the Holy Spirit's got a hold of me. Everything else is gone. Our son, when we were growing up, I've been an itinerant minister of the gospel, and I think I was too sick to go to a presentation, and I asked our, how old was he? Adam St. Joe's, yeah. 10? 11 or 12? Scared to death to draw in front of people. And you know what he says after that presentation? Dad, I turned my back and everything disappeared. That's where I want to live, man. For Jesus. The pain's gone. The distractions are gone. You're hyper-focused. We have to be careful that we're not coming to God so that we can have more money or better relationships or more time or better health. We come to God so we can experience Him working in and through those things in our lives. He's got a plan. And sometimes He uses stuff to fulfill His plan so that we can have new life in Him. I've learned through the years that there are times when God gives us what we think we need. And there are times when He withholds what we think we need. Jesus! God works through the giving and the withholding to draw us to Himself. Thank you, Jesus, for this thorn. Because then people in the world rally around me to support me. And then I give God the praise for their help. Verses 12 through 15 are pretty poignant. That's why your Bible's open. You can see for yourself. These are some pretty drastic words. Peter and John begin to explain to the crowd why this man can walk. It's not their power that has done this, but Jesus' power working through them. And I can imagine the conviction in the conviction of their sins beginning to overtake them as Peter gives this message. I mean, think about it. These people just crucified and put Jesus to death. I mean, this is just a couple of weeks. We read in verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His servant Jesus. You handed Him over to be killed. You disowned Him before Pilate, though he had decided to let Him go. And then Peter gets right up in their face in verses 14 and 15. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One. And ask that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised Him from the dead. We're all witnesses of this. We know the story, right? Thankfully. I'm sorry. Can you imagine how convicting those words would have been? The truth is, we need conviction too. We need to become aware of our sins and for that to grieve our hearts, to crush our spirits. Thankfully, we're not guilty of killing the author of life. But as lovingly as I can, we are responsible for disowning the Holy One. Nah, James. Yeah, James. We deny Jesus too when we're embarrassed to start a conversation about Him at work, or when we harbor lust or greed in our hearts, or when we divide our lives into acting two different ways. We act this way at church and then a completely different way when we're in the world. Giving some things to God and keeping others for ourselves does not work. We need to repent and return again and again to the grace and the mercy of God that He gives and keeps on giving and forgiving and accepting us. We need Jesus not only to provide for us financially, but we need Him to radically transform the way we view money. It ain't all that. And generally, if you have too much, life is miserable. I know those people. What is it? Money can't buy you love? We need Jesus to build our relationships as we keep Him as our sure foundation. You want a good relationship with anybody on the planet, you get Christ in the middle of it. We need Jesus not to give us more time, but to love Him and love others with the time we already have. Oh, if I could just have another hour to love You more, Lord, to proclaim You once more. The thing we think we need most is not actually what we need. We need Jesus. And we need Him to transform us from the inside out. I hate the world the way it is. What am I doing to make it different? My mother tells me, it is what it is. I say, that's a lie. We can make a difference. God wants us to make a difference. But we're like, no, it's all about me. I need, I want. What do you want, God, in me? What do you want, God, from me? In verse 16, Peter and John explain how they healed the crippled man. Verse 16 says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man in whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through Him that has completely healed him, as you can see. I'm healed. Man, I feel good. And in about 17 minutes, when I come down off this platform, my back's going to ache. Start hobbling. This is why I selfishly proclaim the gospel, because it's exhilarating. It's my favorite drug. I'm addicted to Jesus. I wish I was contagious. What do you have? I want some of that. Where's my Bible? There, give me the Bible with the orange stripes. That's where I get my drug. Good stuff. Peter and John have faith in Jesus. And Jesus gives them the power to heal this man. And we need that same kind of faith in Jesus. It says that the faith that comes through Him, that kind of faith only comes through Jesus. The truth is, Jesus gives us the faith we need to have faith in Him. In order to believe in Jesus, you need Jesus to give you the faith to believe. It's not in our nature. We're born dead. But God pursues us. If you're here and you don't believe in Jesus, or maybe you don't trust Him, or your faith is little and He's not really a part of your life, you need Jesus. Pray that Jesus would give you faith to trust Him. Pray that Jesus would open your heart, that you would see your need for Him. Here's your prayer. Ready? It's a gift. Lord Jesus, I need You to give me the faith to believe in You. Amen. And watch what happens. Pray that from your heart right now. 9 words. God, give me the faith to believe in You. He has to be faithful and answer your prayer. The gospel is the good news that Jesus died and he rose again so that by faith in him, you might know God intimately. Oh, how we need to know God. First, we need to experience him. And then we need his conviction. And then we need faith in his son, Jesus. And then we need his refreshment. In verses 17 through 20 of Acts chapter 3, Peter recognizes these people were ignorant. They didn't know how their actions affected them. But this doesn't excuse them. It doesn't excuse us either. We can live our whole lives outside of the will of God and ignore Jesus because we don't know. But that doesn't make it okay. God uses their and our mistakes to bring salvation. He wants us to be saved. Acts 3:17 and 18 says, "Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through the prophets, saying that this Messiah, that his Messiah would suffer. The Messiah came to pay the sin debt of you and me." What should our response be? Jesus died for me. What should I do? Verse 19 tells us, "Repent then. Turn to God so that your sins will be wiped out and that times of refreshing will come from the Lord." Are you refreshed? Have you repented? Or are you carrying something you have not right to hang on to? Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins. Last week we saw he doesn't forget our sins. He chooses not to remember them. Thank you, Jesus. We see here that repentance means that we turn our lifestyle from sin to God. And that doesn't mean you're never going to sin again, but it means you're turning your mind and your will and what you desire most to Jesus. Repentance isn't a one-time act. This is an ongoing act, daily. It's an act of turning to Jesus. When we repent, two things happen. I'm not making it up. It's what God's word says. Your sins are wiped out by the blood of Jesus. And then times of refreshing come from the Lord. Do you believe that? So why are we miserable? Why are we in want when Jesus has everything we need for this day? Remember, he gives us our needs. Not our wants, because generally our wants are misguided. They're twisted. They're upside down. If you have a longing for refreshment, if you're in need of some R&R, not rest and relaxation, rest and restoration, renewal. You think all the R's that go along. Jesus has it. He wants to deal with those parts in your life that are making you anxious about money, about relationships, about time. He wants to deal with those hidden parts in your life that make you afraid to come to him. Don't be afraid of the light. Run to it. Astonished. Running. Look that in the eye. Whatever it is you're carrying, and more than likely, you know what you're carrying. Confess it. If there's anything or anyone in this life we need Jesus and his refreshment. Through the rest of this chapter, we find a promise. Peter promises that Jesus is going to come back and restore everything. Why not start now with you and me? That's what Abraham, Moses, Samuel, all the prophets believed. Through the Messiah, through Jesus, all His, God's people, you and me, would be blessed. Do you believe that, church? I'm a blessed man. Jesus is going to come back and restore the world to the perfect paradise we lost in Eden. My biggest problem is I don't know what perfection is. I've never experienced it. But one day, perfect restoration, perfect peace, harmony. We won't feel the ill effect of an unmet need because Jesus will supply all our needs forever and ever in heaven, ever. It sounds like heaven to me. After all that's been said today, we're left with a choice. We can either believe in Jesus and receive the blessings in store for us, or we can reject Him and be completely cut off. Choice. You can choose to pursue your perception of your needs, money, relationships, time, health, whatever else, or you can choose to be in a relationship through Jesus Christ with God, the Creator of the universe. And let Him care for your spiritual, physical, emotional, and material needs. He's not going to hang you out to dry. He's going to bless you beyond measure. Be attentive to this truth. God will not give you everything you think you want, but He'll give you everything you actually need. Himself. Only Jesus can satisfy your true need. The choice is up to you. Father, we thank You for Your Word and the power that it holds to change lives. God, I pray that we would pick up what You're putting down, that we would know that in all things, You hold them together. God, in You, we have the victory. And for this, we give You the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.